This is Napkin Scribbles, a podcast by Arthur and Professor Leonard Sweet. Today's Napkin Scribble is sponsored by Portland Seminary of George Fox University. For more information, join them on the web at portlandseminary.org. Now here's Leonard Sweet.
This is a Greek word you probably heard before, preachers have preached it, and it may be familiar to you, so let's learn it correctly, though, this time. Metanoia, metanoia. Meta is a Greek preface that literally has multiple meanings, but the way in which it's used in the New Testament, it kind of puts these multiple meanings together. It means, first of all, changed, altered, but it also means changed, altered, in a higher and better and more transcendent way. The noia is mind, so it's a change of mind, but it's a change of mind that alters it and betters it and transcends it in a very heavenly, transcendent direction. And in metanoia, we change our mind and change our posture and change our position. It can mean turn around. It in its most radical form, it means an about face. But to do a metanoia, to experience metanoia, you've got to stop. You got to repivot. You got to do a 180 turn facing in a whole different direction. That's how radical a concept it is. And for Christians, metanoia early on became a substitute for repentance. And this is to repent was to undergo metanoia. It's a moment where we're shaken out of our self-righteousness and refocused on a whole new reality, a whole new possibility. And in some ways, metanoia has been seen as kind of an aha moment, a perception, when we get, however briefly, a glimpse of how Christ could and promises to metamorph our lives. So to experience metanoia is not cause to fall down on one's knees and weep. It's a call to set off in a new direction with new focus, with a new call to service, and with new missional energy. The problem is that the word that we most use to translate metanoia and the effects of metanoia is the word transformation. It should be transfiguration. And I'm hoping as you use metanoia precisely that you can move in your mind from the default setting of transformation to a new default setting of what this word means as transfiguration. When a caterpillar enters a chrysalis, it is transformed. When a caterpillar emerges from that silken shroud and becomes a butterfly, it is transfigured. They're two very different things. The Holy Spirit is in a bigger business than transformation. The Holy Spirit is in the transfiguration business. As the process of metanoia, yes, we undergo this weave, this silken shroud, this chrysalis, but then we come out a whole new creature. We come out not transformed, we come out transfigured into the likeness and very spirit of Christ. Transformation comes about from outside in. Transformations can be monumental, they can be life-altering, they can be watershed moments in our life. But transformations are still a result of something or someone operating outside of oneself. In other words, outside in. But there's a reason why we don't celebrate Transformation Sunday. We celebrate Transfiguration Sunday. And to be transfigured is something quite different than to be transformed. And on Transfiguration, this Mount Tabor moment, the disciples watch as Jesus is transfigured before them. He is not transformed before them. The Greek term metamorph here means to change into a new creature and to fly now, to soar. The disciples immediately note the outward physical changes in Jesus, and his clothing appears to them as dazzling white, and they're suddenly made aware that both Moses and Elijah stand beside Jesus speaking with him. And of course, Jesus is always dealing with Peter, who is anxious to take action of some sort and to assert himself. And that's what happens in this transfiguration story. Peter suggests that they should construct three tabernacles or dwelling places, one for Jesus, one for Moses, one for Elijah. But as they're saying this, and it apparently is just nervous babbling, it makes it clear that all three of them are terrified. And the disciples only see Jesus as transformed, dazzling white, the presence of Elijah and Moses. They still don't realize that Jesus is now fully transfigured. Having foretold his death and resurrection, he is transfigured into his full messianic self. No longer a rabbi, no longer a preacher, no longer a healer. He is now something new. And that which was always within him is now made outwardly present to the world in its fullest form and expression. And the disciples are transformed momentarily by this dazzling image. They respond to the outer changes they see and offer outer responses to them, like, let's make some dwellings, let's stay on the mountain, let's build a Jesus museum. How many of our churches have become at best just that, a Jesus museum, a place where we can hang his picture or frame him in a Hall of Fame corridor so that people can have a Jesus museum experience? But the disciples are transformed, but they are not yet transfigured. And that will not happen until after the resurrection. Transformation is changed from the outside in. Transfiguration is changed from the inside out. And in the transfiguration, in the metanoia that takes place here on this mountain, Jesus is the light. Jesus is the temple. Jesus is the kingdom. Jesus is the tree. Jesus is the ladder. Jesus is Jubilee. And the promise of the gospel after the resurrection is that Jesus is inviting every one of us into a journey of metamorphosis, of inside out change, where we become new creatures in Christ that now no longer are bound to crawl on the ground, but are able to fly and soar in the spirit. What a great Greek word, metanoia.
Thank you for listening to Napkin Scribbles. Please don't forget to like, subscribe, and share with a friend today. Today's Napkin Scribbles was sponsored by Portland Seminary of George Fox University. For more information, join them on the web at portlandseminary.org. For Professor and Author Leonard Sweet, until next time, happy scratching and scribbling.